Gentle maidens, you sing well, but vainly, for Rose is still heart-free and looks but coldly upon her many suitors.
It's very disappointing. Every young man in the village is in love with her, but they are appalled by her beauty and modesty and won't declare themselves. So until she makes her own choice, there's no chance for anybody else.
This is perhaps the only village in the world that possesses an endowed corps of professional bridesmaids who are bound to be on duty every day from 10 to 4. And it is at least 6 months since our services were required. The pious charity by which we exist is practically wasted.
We shall be disendowed. That will be the end of it. Dame Hannah, you're a nice old person. You could marry if you liked. There's old Adam, Robin's faithful servant. He loves you with all the frenzy of a boy of 14.
Nay, that may never be, for I am pledged...
To whom?
To an eternal maidenhood. Many years ago, I was betrothed to a godlike youth who wooed me under an assumed name.
Ooh.
But on the very day upon which our wedding was to have been celebrated, I discovered that he was no other than Sir Roderick Murgatroyd, one of the bad baronets of Ruddigore, and the uncle of the man who now bears that title.
Ooh.
As a son of that accursed race, he was no husband for an honest girl. So, madly as I loved him, I left him then and there. He died but 10 years since, but I never saw him again.
But why should you not marry a bad baronet of Ruddigore?
All baronets are bad. But was he worse than the other baronets?
My child, he was accursed.
But who cursed him? Not you, I trust.
The curse is on all his line, and has been ever since the time of Sir Rupert, the first baronet. Listen, and you shall hear the legend.
Employed in persecuting witches, with fear he'd make them quake. He'd duck them in his lake. He'd break their bones with sticks and stones and burn them at the stake.
His sport he much enjoyed. Did Rupert
with the here, Rose? On some errand of charity, as is thy wont?
A few gifts, dear aunt, for deserving villagers. Lo, here is some peppermint rock for old Gaffer Gadaby, a set of false teeth for pretty little Ruth Rowbottom, and a pound of snuff for the poor orphan girl on the hill.
Ah, Rose, pity that so much goodness should not help to make some gallant youth happy for life. Rose, why dost thou harden that little heart of thine? Is there none here away whom thou couldst love?
And if there were such an one, verily it would ill become me to tell him so.
Nay, dear one, where true love is, there is little need of prim formality.
Hush, dear aunt, for thy words pain me sorely. Hung in a plated dish cover to the knocker of the workhouse door, with naught that I could call mine own, save a change of baby linen and a book of etiquette. Little wonder if I have always regarded that work as a voice from a parent's tomb. This hallowed volume, composed, if I may believe the title page, by no less an authority than the wife of a Lord Mayor, has been through life my guide and monitor. By its solemn precepts, I have learned to test the moral worth of all who approach me. The man who bites his bread or eats peas with a knife, I look upon as a lost creature. And he who has not acquired the proper way of entering and leaving a room is the object of my pitying horror. There are those in this village who bite their nails, dear aunt, and nearly all are wont to use their pocket combs in public places. In truth, I could pursue this painful theme much further. But behold, I have said enough.
But is there not one among them who is faultless in thine eyes? For example, young Robin. He combines the manners of a marquis with the morals of a Methodist. Couldst thou not love him?
And even if I could, how should I confess it unto him? For lo, he is shy and saith naught.
Speak of it to you, and you.
When she breathed the hallowed name of Robin, that he would do even as well as another. But he resembleth all the youths in this village, in that he is unduly bashful in my presence, and lo, it is hard to bring him to the point. But soft, he is here.
Mistress Rose!
Master Robin!
Oh, I wish to say that it is fine.
It is passing fine.
But we do want rain.
Aye, sorely. Is that all?
That is all.
Good day, Master Robin.
Good day, Mistress Rose.
I beg pardon, you were about to say...
I would fain consult you.
Truly?
It is about a friend.
In truth, I have a friend myself.
Indeed? I mean... Of course.
And I would fain consult you.
About him?
About her.
Let us consult one another.
I know a youth who loves a little maid. Hey, but his face is a sight for to see. Silent is he, for he's modest and afraid. Hey, but he's timid as a youth can be.
I know a maid who loves a gallant youth. Hey, but she sickens as the days go by. She cannot tell him all the sad, sad truth. Hey, but I think that little maid will die.
Poor little maid.
And he cannot sleep. Hey, but his face is a sight for to see. Daily he goes for to wail, for to weep. Hey, but he's wretched as a youth can be.
She's very thin and she's very pale. Hey, but she's sick and as the days go by. Daily she goes for to weep.
He's bashful as a youth can be.
If I were the youth, I should speak to her today. Hey, but she's sickened as the days go by.
If I were the maid, I would meet the lad halfway. For I really do believe that timid youth will
Poor little man,
I thank you, miss, for your
your counsel true, I'll tell that head what he ought to do.
Poor child. I sometimes think that if she wasn't quite so particular, I might venture. But no, no. Even then, I should be unworthy of her.
My kind master is sad. Dear Sir Rithen Murgatroyd.
Hush! As you love me, breathe not that hated name. 20 years ago, in horror at the prospect of inheriting that hideous title, and with it the ban that compels all who succeed to the baronetcy to commit at least one deadly crime per day for life, I fled my home and concealed myself in this innocent village under the name of Robin Oldcapel. My younger brother, Despard, believing me to be dead, succeeded to the title and its attendant curse. For 20 years I have been dead and buried. Don't dig me up now.
Dear master, it shall be as you wish, for have I not sworn to obey you forever in all things? Yet, as we are here alone, and as I belong to that particular description of a good old man, to whom the truth is a refreshing novelty, let me call you by your own right title once more. Sir Rithen Murgatroyd, Baronet of Radigore. It's like 8 hours at the seaside.
Oh, my poor old friend, would there were more like you.
Would there were indeed, but I bring you good tidings. Your foster brother Richard has returned from sea. His ship, the Tom Tit, rides yonder at anchor, and he himself is even now in this very village.
My beloved foster brother? No, no, it cannot be.
It is even so, and see, he comes this way.
In a revenue sloop and off Cape Finisterre, a merchantman we see, a Frenchman going free, so we made for the bold Mounseer. Do you see, we made for the bold Mounseer, but she proved to be a frigate, and she up with a port and fires with a 32. It come on coming near, but we answered with a cheer which paralyzed the parley-voo. Do you see, which paralyzed the parley-voo. Then our captain, he up and he says he, that chap we need not fear. We can take her if we like, she's certain for to strike, for she's only a darned Mounseer. Do you see, she's only a darned Mounseer. But to fight a French for love is like hitting of a gal. It's a lubberly thing for to do. For we with all our faults, why we're sturdy British salts, why she's only a poor parley-voo. Do you see, why she's only a poor parley-voo.
Why she's only a poor parley-voo.
So we up with our helm and we scuds before the breeze as we gives a compassionating cheer. Froggy answers with a shout as he sees us go about, which was grateful of the poor Mounseer. Do you see, which was grateful of the poor Mounseer. And a wager in their joy they kissed each other's cheek, which is what them foreigners do. And they blessed their lucky stars, we were hardy British tars who had pity on a poor parley-voo. Do you see, who had pity on a poor parley-voo.
Oh, Beloved foster brother and very dearest friend. Welcome home again after 10 long years at sea. It is such deeds as yours that cause our flag to be loved and dreaded throughout the civilized world.
Why, Lord love ye, Rob, that's but a trifle to what we have done in the way of sparing life. I believe I may say, without exaggeration, that the merciful little Tom Tit has spared more French frigates than any craft afloat. But 'tain't for a British seaman to brag, so I'll just stow my join tackle and belay. But vast heaving, messmate, what's brought you all a cockbill?
Oh, elastic, I love Rose Maybud, and love in vain.
You love in vain? Come, that's too good. Why, you're a fine, strapping, muscular young fellow. Tall and strong as a top-gallant mast. Taut as a forestay. Aye, and a barra knight to boot, if all had their rights.
Hush, Richard. Not a word about my true rank, which none here suspect. Yes, I know well enough that few men are better calculated to win a woman's heart than I. I'm a fine fellow, Dick, and worthy any woman's love. Happy the girl who gets me, say I. But I'm timid, Dick. Shy, nervous, modest, retiring, diffident. And I cannot tell her, Dick. I cannot tell her. Oh, you've no idea what a poor opinion I have of myself, and how little I deserve it.
Robin, do you call to mind how, years ago, we swore that, come what might, we would always act upon our heart's dictates?
Aye, Dick, and I've always kept that oath. In doubt, difficulty, and danger, I've always asked my heart what I should do, and it has never failed me.
Right! Let your heart be your compass, with a clear conscience for your binnacle light, and you'll sail 10 knots on the bowline, clear of shoals, rocks, and quicksands. Well, now, what does my heart say in this ere difficult situation? Why, it says, Dick, it says, it calls me Dick because it's known me from a babby. Dick, it says, you ain't shy. You ain't modest. Speak you up for him as is. Robin, my lad, just you lay me alongside, and when she's becalmed under my lee, I'll spin her a yarn that shall serve to fish you two together for life.
Oh, will you do this thing for me? Can you, do you think? Yes, there's no false modesty about you. You're what I would call bumptious self-assertiveness.
Oh, Rob.
Oh, I mean the expression in its complimentary sense has already made you a bosun's mate. And it will make an admiral of you in time if you work it properly. You dear, incompetent old imposter. My dear fellow, I'd give my right arm for 1/10 of your modest assurance.
My boy, you may take it from me that of all the afflictions accursed with which a man saddled and hampered and addled, a diffident nature's the worst. Though clever as clever can be, a Crichton of early romance, you must study it and stop it and blow your own trumpet. Don't trust me, you haven't a chance. In the world to advance, your merit, your boundary hunts. You must study to stop it and blow your own trumpet. Don't trust me, you haven't a chance. If you wish in the world to advance, your merit, your boundary hunts. You must study to stop it and blow your own trumpet. Don't trust me, you haven't a chance. Now take for example my case. I've a bright intellectual brain. In all under city, there's no one so witty. I thought so again and again. I've a highly intelligent face. My features cannot be denied. But whatever I try, sir, I fail in a wiser.
I don't know.
I'm modesty personified. If you wish in the world to advance, your merits you're bound to enhance. You must study the stamina, do you the dominant, cause we have a chance. If you wish in the world to advance, your merits you're bound to enhance. You must study the stamina, do you the dominant, cause we have a chance. As a poet, I'm tender and quaint. I've passion and fervor and grace. From Ovid and Horace to Swinburne and Morris, they all of them take a back place. Then I sing and I play and I paint. Though none are accomplished as I. To say so were treason, you ask me the reason.
No, I didn't.
I'm diffident, modest, and shy. If you wish in the world to advance, your merits you're bound to enhance. You must study the stuff in the period of government, or cause for you haven't a chance. If you wish in the world to advance, your merits you're bound to enhance. You must study the stuff in the period of government, or cause for you haven't a chance.
Ah, it's a thousand pities he's such a poor opinion of himself. For a finer fellow don't walk. Well, I'll do my best for him. Plead for him as though it was for your own father. That's what my hearts are remarking to me just now. But here she comes. Steady, steady it is. By the port admiral, but she's a tight little craft. Come, come, she's not for you, Dick. And yet... she's fit to marry Lord Nelson. By the flag of Old England, I can't look at her unmoved.
Sir, you are agitated.
Aye, aye, my lass. Well said. I am agitated, true enough. Took flat aback, my girl. But 'tis naught. 'Twill pass. This here heart of mine's a dictating to me like anything. Question is, have I a right to disregard its promptings?
Can I do aught to relieve thine anguish? For it seemeth to me that thou art in sore trouble. This apple?
No, my lass, tain't that. I'm took flat aback. I never see anything like you in all my born days. Parbuckle me if you ain't the loveliest gal I've ever set eyes on. There, I can't say fairer than that, can I?
No. The question is, is it meet that an utter stranger should thus express himself? Yes, always speak the truth.
I'd no thoughts of saying this here to you on my own account. For truth to tell, I was chartered by another. But when I see you, my heart it up and it says it, this is the very lass for you, Dick. Speak up to her, Dick, it says. It calls me Dick, because we was at school together. Tell her all, Dick, it says. Never sail under false colours. It's mean. That's what my heart tells me to say. And in my rough, common sailor fashion, I said it. And I'm awaiting for your reply. I'm a-trembling, miss. Looky here. That's nervousness.
No. How should a maiden deal with such an one? Keep no one in unnecessary suspense. Behold, I will not keep you in unnecessary suspense. In accepting an offer of marriage, do so with apparent hesitation. I take you, but with a certain show of reluctance. Avoid any appearance of eagerness.
Axing your pardon, miss, might I be permitted to salute the flag I'm a-going to sail under?
An engaged young lady should not permit too many familiarities. Once.
Battle's roar is over, O my love. Embrace thy tender lover, O my love. From tempest welter, from war's alarms, O give me shelter within those arms. O give me shelter within.
She refuses?
Why, no, I can't truly say she do.
Then she accepts. Oh, my darling.
Hail the bridegroom, hail the bride. Let the nuptial knot be tied. In their praises, in their praises. Hail the bridegroom, hail the bride.
Now, what should a maiden do when she's embraced by the wrong gentleman?
Belay, my lad, belay. You don't understand.
Oh, sir, belay. I beseech you.
You see, it's like this. She accepts, but it's me. You?
Hail the bridegroom, hail the bride. Let a nuptial knot be tied.
Hold your tongues, will you? Now then, what does this mean? My poor lad, my heart grieves for thee. But it's like this. The moment I see her, and just as I was going to mention your name, my heart is up and it says it, Dick, you fell in love with her yourself. It says, be honest and sailor-like. Don't skulk under false colours. Speak up, it says. Take her, you dog, and with her, my blessing.
Hail the bridegroom, hail the bride.
Will you be quiet? Go away. Vulgar girls, what could I do? I'm bound to obey my heart's dictates.
Of course, no doubt. It's quite right, I don't mind. Not particularly. Only it is disappointing, you know.
Oh, but sir, I knew not that thou didst seek to me in wedlock, or in very truth I should not have hearkened unto this man. For behold, he is but a lowly mariner, and very poor withal. Whereas thou art tiller of the land, and thou hast fat oxen, and many sheep and swine, a considerable dairy farm, and much corn and oil.
That's true, my lass, but it's done now, ain't it, Rob?
Still, it may be that I should not be happy in thy love. I am passing young and little able to judge. Moreover, as to thy character, I know naught.
Nay, Rose, I'll answer for that. Dick has won thy love fairly. Oh, broken-hearted as I am, I stand up for Dick through thick and thin. Thank ye, messmate. That's well said. That's spoken honest. Thank ye, Rob.
Yet methinks I have heard that sailors are but worldly men, and little prone to lead serious and thoughtful lives.
What then? Admit that Dick is not a steady character, and that when he's excited, he uses language that would make your hair curl.
Grant that. He does. It's the truth, and I'm not going to deny it. But look at his good qualities. He's as nimble as a pony. And his hornpipe is the talk of the fleet.
Thank ye, Rob. That's well spoken. Thank ye, Rob.
But it may be that he drinketh strong waters which do bemuse a man and make him even as the wild beasts of the desert.
Well, suppose he does, and I don't say he don't. For rum's his bane and ever has been. He does drink, I won't deny it. But what of that? Look at his arms. Tattooed to the shoulder. Oh, no, no. I won't hear a word against Dick.
But they say that mariners are but rarely true to those whom they profess to love.
Oh, granted, granted. I don't say that Dick isn't as bad as any of them. You are, you know, you are, you dog. A devil of a fellow. A regular out-and-out Lothario. But what then? You can't have everything, and a better hand at turning in a dead eye don't walk a deck. And what an accomplishment that is in a family man. No, no, not a word against Dick. I'll stick up for him through thick and thin.
Thank you, Rob, thank you. You're a true friend. I have acted according to my heart's dictates, and such orders as them no man should disobey.
In sailing all thy social pride, your heart should be your only guide. With summer sea and favorite wine, yourself in port you'll surely find.
My heart says to this maiden strike, she's captured you, she's just the sort of girl you like. You know you do, if other men her heart should gain, I shall resign, that's what it says to me quite plain. This heart of mine, this heart of mine.
My heart says you were prosperous lot, with acres wide, you mean to settle all you've got upon your bride. It don't pretend to shape my acts by word or sign, it merely states these simple facts. This heart of mine, this heart of mine.
10 minutes since my heart said white, it now says black, it then said left, it now says right. Hearts often tack, my heart obeys latest strain. You tell me so, but should it change its mind again, I let you know, I let you know.
In sailing all my social wide, no doubt the heart should be your guide. But it is awkward when you find a heart that does not know its mind. A heart that does not know its mind. A heart that does not know its mind. A heart. A heart that does not know its mind.
Buzzes the bee, splash on the billowy beach, tumbles the sea. But the peach and the beach, they are each nothing to me. and he wanders through its bowers, toying with the wanton roses, the wanton roses, who uprising from their beds hold on high their shameless heads, with their pretty lips a-pouting, with their pretty lips a-pouting, never doubting, never doubting, that for savory and poses he would gather aught but roses. In a nest of weeds and nettles lay a violet half hidden, hoping that his glance unbidden yet might fall upon her petals, upon her petals. Though she lived alone apart, hopefully nestling at her heart. But alas, the cruel awaking, but alas, the cruel awaking, set a little heart a-breaking, for he gathered for his poses only roses, only
to soften thy sorrow. This apple?
No. Tell me, are you mad?
I? No. That is, I think not.
That's well. Then you don't love Sir Despard Murgatroyd. All mad girls love him. I love him. I'm poor mad Margaret, crazy Meg, poor Peg.
Oh, thou lovest the bad Baronet of Rodigore. Horrible, too horrible.
You pity me? Then be my mother. The squirrel had a mother, but she drank and the squirrel fled. Shh! They sing a brave song in our parts. It runs somewhat thus. The cat and the dog and the little puppy sat down in a, I forget what they sat down in. But so the song goes. Listen, I've come to pinch her.
Mercy? Whom?
You mean who?
Nay, it is the accusative after the verb.
True. I have come to pinch Rose Maybud.
Rose Maybud?
I love him. He loved me once. But that's all gone. He gave me an Italian glance thus. And made me his. He will give her an Italian glance and make her his. But it shall not be, for I stamp on her, stamp on her, stamp on her. Did you ever kiss anybody? No, why not? Listen, I killed a fly this morning. It buzzed, and I wouldn't have it. So it died. Pop! So shall she.
But behold, I am Rose Maybud, and I would fain not die. Pop!
You are Rose Maybud?
Yes, sweet Rose Maybud.
Strange. They told me she was beautiful. And he loves you?
No,
no. If I thought that, I would treat you as the auctioneer and land agent treated the ladybird. I would rend you asunder.
Nay, be pacified. For behold, I am pledged to another, and lo, we are to be wedded this very day.
Swear me that. Come to a commissioner and let me have it on affidavit. I once made an affidavit, but it died. It died. It died. But see, they come. come. Sir Despard and his evil crew, hide, hide. They are all mad, quite mad.
What makes you think that?
Shh! They sing choruses in public. That's bad enough, I think. Go, hide away or they will seize you. Shh! Quite softly. Quite softly. Shh!
Guiltily mad.
Confess.
Because I am thoroughly bad.
Oh, yes.
You'll see it at once in my face. Oh, why am I thirsty and hoarse?
Oh, why?
It's the workings of conscience, of course. And huskiness stands for remorse. At least it does so in my case. When in crime one is fully employed,
like you,
your expression gets warped and destroyed. It's a penalty if you can avoid. I once was a nice-looking youth, but like stone from a strong catapult, I rushed at my terrible cult. Observe the unpleasant result. Indeed, I am telling the truth. Oh, innocent, happy, though poor. If I had been virtuous, I'm sure I should be as nice-looking as you are. You are very nice-looking indeed. Oh, innocent, listen in time. Avoid an existence of crime.
Just so.
Or you'll be as ugly as I'm.
Oh, no.
And now, if you please, we'll proceed.
Whoa!
children, how they loathe me. Me, whose hands are certainly steeped in infamy, but whose heart is as the heart of a little child. But what is a poor baronet to do when a whole picture gallery of ancestors step down from their frames and threaten him with an excruciating death if he hesitate to commit his daily crime? But, ha-ha, I am even with them. I get my crime over the first thing in the morning, and then, ha-ha, for the rest of the day, I do good, I do good, I do good. 2 days since I stole a child, then built an orphan asylum. Yesterday, I robbed a bank and endowed a bishopric. Today, I carry off Rose Maybud and atone with a cathedral. This is what it is to be the sport and toy of a picture gallery. But I will be bitterly revenged upon them. I will give them all to the nation, and nobody shall ever look upon their faces again.
Ax your honor's pardon, but...
Absurd, and by a mariner. What would you with me, fellow?
Your honor, I'm a poor man-of-war's man, becalmed in the doldrums.
I don't know them.
And I make bold to ask your honor's advice.
Hmm?
Does your honor know what it is to have a heart?
My honor knows what it is to have a complete apparatus for conducting the circulation of the blood through the veins and arteries of the human body.
Aye, but has your honor a heart that ups and looks you in the face and gives you quarter-deck orders that it's life and death to disobey?
I have not a heart of that description, but I have a picture gallery that presumes to take that liberty.
Well, your honor, it's like this. Your honor had an elder brother.
It has.
Who should have inherited your title. And with it, its curse.
Aye, but he died. Oh, Reverend.
He didn't.
He did not?
He didn't. On the contrary, he lives in this here very village under the name of Robin Oldcapple, and he's going to marry Rose Maybud this very day.
Reverend alive? And going to marry Rose Maybud? Can this be possible?
Now, the question I was going to ask, your honor, is... ought I to tell your honor this?
I don't know. It's a delicate point. I think you ought. Mind, I'm not sure, but I think so.
That's what my art says. It says, Dick, it says, it calls me Dick, because it's entitled to take that liberty. That there young gal would recoil from him if she knowed what he really were. Ought you to stand off and on and let this young gal take this false step and never fire a shot across her bows to bring her to? No, it says, you did not ought. And I won't ought, according.
Then you really feel yourself at liberty to tell me that my elder brother lives, but I may charge him with his cruel deceit and transfer to his shoulders the hideous thraldom under which I have labored for so many years. Free. Free at last. Free to live a blameless life and to die beloved and regretted by all who knew me.
You understand? I think I do. With vigor unshaken, the steps shall be taken. It's neatly planned. I think so too. I'll readily bet it. You'll never regret it. For duty must be done. The rule applies to everyone. And painful though that duty be, to shirk the task of fiddledy-dee, to shirk the task of fiddledy-dee, to shirk the task, to shirk the task of fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-dee. The bridegroom comes. Likewise, the bride and maidens are very elated and merry. They are a chum to lash their pride. We're almost a pretty, the pretty committee. But duty must be done. The rule applies to everyone. And painful though that duty be, to shirk the task of fiddledy-dee, to shirk the task of fiddledy-dee, to shirk the task, to shirk the task of fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-fiddledy-dee. Thank you.
Ere you wed each other, I claim young Robin as my elder brother. His rightful title I have long enjoyed. I claim him as Sir River Murgatroyd.
Deny my cousin Robin as you should. It is a plot.
I would if conscientiously I could, but I cannot.
On this one.
As pure and blameless peasant, I cannot, I regret, deny a truth unpleasant. I am that baronet.
He is that baronet.
But when completely rated, bad baronet am I, that I am what he stated, I'll recklessly deny.
He'll recklessly deny.
When I'm a bed, but I'm a dead, there are diddles.
He's a dead, there are diddles, and he's a bad boss.
I play a bed, but I'm the faucet of fiddles.
I'm ready for fiddles, and play a bad boss.
But until that takes place, I must be conscientious.
Be conscientious, until that takes place.
Send a new with good grace to my moral sententious.
To moral sententious, and do with good grace. And do with good grace to my moral sententious.
When I'm a bad boss, I will tell there are diddles. I'm ready for fiddles, I'll play a bad boss. I'll play a bad boss, and the faucet of fiddles. And tell there are diddles when I'm a bad boss.
When he's a bad boss, he will tell there are diddles. I'm ready for fiddles, I'll play a bad boss. I'll play a bad boss, and the faucet of fiddles. I'll play a bad boss, and he's a bad boss. Bad boss!
Quickly one.
excuse me. I'm a virtuous person now.
That's why we do.
And I, to Margaret, must keep my vow.
Have I misread you? Oh, joy with you.
Once disliked you, now that I've reformed, how I adore you.
Hail the bridegroom, hail the bride, when the nuptial knot is tied, every day will bring some joy that can never, never cloy.
Richard, offer my love, me through thy design, thou art the only one that's left, so
happy the lily when kissed by the bee, and sipping tranquilly quite happy is he. And happy the filly that lays in the bride, but happy the lamb upon the water, and happy the flowers of gossam in June, and happy the bowers that gain by the moon. But happy the bowers, the man of descent, who, one in addressing his friend, or forgetting his friend, and another take a beef to repent. Oh, happy the blossom that blooms on the bee, likewise the opossum that sits on the tree. When you come across them, they cannot compare with those who are just waiting, the gods are waiting, the people are spreading the best of good fare.
Oh, wretched the letter who's signing a deed, and wretched the letter that no one can read. But very much better than not it must be, than better the person I'm making, this person whose head there's a cousin alluding to me.
Oh, happy the lady when kissed by the bee,